Spirit.
So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can be here this morning and sing the truth that we don't even realize what it is when we sing All Things Are Possible Now That You're Here, because so many things have already transpired that we know to be true, and yet how much faith do we place in them? How much, Lord, does the world place in those that ought to know better? We know really that we're singing the truth, but we're a long way from realizing it as we ought to, with this simplistic understanding that's so. Help us today, Lord, to know that as never before, this reality, because it is so. And we know that everything is in You, You're present, and You're here to wind everything down, even as You started to wind everything up. And we know that all things are of You, and they are from You, they're by You, they're for You, all these things, Lord. And we ask You to help us now. This morning, may it be a sweet, blessed service for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And before we do, because hopefully we might get this finished Wednesday night. See, I've taken up a half hour now. We're going to go back to the book of 2 Peter, and I want to just more or less deal with this again, because it is very vital. Now, he is speaking, of course, concerning our hour in which we live. Because the first resurrection has not yet taken place. It said in verse 3, the third chapter, 2 Peter, knowing this first. Knowing this first. Now, this is what you know first in the sense of what is coming first. Now, you just stop a minute. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's verse 1, of course. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied in you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Notice there's two entities spoken of there. According as His divine power is given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your knowledge, faith, virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness. To godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. That's love, which is God. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you to be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Now that would be the Laodicean church age. And cannot see afar off. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. How do you do it? For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now this is the key to the whole thing. Grace and peace are multiplied. According as His divine power is given unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, he's building you right up to the place of the kingdom. That's what he's doing. And this is the forerunning passage of the kingdom. Seven church ages of virtue, and everybody has those virtues in him. Until each one is capped off by God Himself, even as God takes every one of us to die, places us, caps us off, at the end time, everyone also is placed, sealed, and capped off. You got to be born again first to have that. That's why Lutherans potentially had the Holy Ghost, and only today do we actually have the Holy Ghost. It's very strange. I'm not saying about being born again. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost himself. Because your rebirth does not constitute the Holy Ghost. A minute portion of a sealing back to God. Now, wherefore, he's speaking of the everlasting kingdom. I will not be negligent to put you all to remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the truth which is presently before your scrutiny. And the present truth is the abundant entrance into the kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom, and we are going to get into it. Now, he says, I want you to know these things before I die, and I'm going to tell you again so you won't forget them. Verse 16, we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power in the coming, the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now he's talking of the kingdom, and you're not going to get there. You've got to be raptured into it and brought back to it, having gone through your change. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son whom I will please. This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were in the holy mount with him. We have also the words of prophecy made sure. Now, what he saw there and what happened was not the word of prophecy made sure. No way, shape, and form. It was a vision. And you don't settle for visions. A vision will point you. A vision will tell you. But a vision is not the real thing. Now, the real thing can be in a vision. But what does it do for you? Okay. That's not what counts. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. Unto what? Whatever this is at the end time that comes into realization, as a light shines in a dark place, until the day dawn, the day star arise in your hearts. Now remember, the eyes of the heart have got to be illuminated according to Ephesians. Knowing this first, that no prophecy. Now notice, knowing this first, over here. Knowing this first. Knowing this first. This is the thing you got to know above everything that deals with the kingdom. You're getting there. That no prophecy of the Scripture, and this is one of them, is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. So this man, Peter, is not prophesying. He is reiterating a prophecy of which he has a foreknowledge, and he's telling you that you watch out that you don't miss it. That you have an abundant entrance. Now, all of these things back here look good. And let me tell you, everyone can be counterfeited. Except number 8, which is God. You can't counterfeit God. But you can have dynamic faith. You can have dynamic virtue, which is power in the gift. You can have every single one of those. Now he said, there's something you've got to know first. And the first things are first. That no prophecy of the Scripture, and he's referring to this hour, comes by a private interpretation. Oh, let's get that plan. But holy men of God speak. That's how prophecy came in the old time. They spake by the will of God. They didn't have a will of their own. They didn't have a word of their own. And when it came to
understanding another prophet's prophecy, they had to be just as windswept upon in their revelation as was the man that gave it. Old Isaiah back there. Let's go to Isaiah 40 for just a little tiny bit and just take a look at it. He said, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Now, that man that said it was absolutely windswept by the Holy Ghost, outside of his own will, outside of his own understanding, and he screamed it, and he couldn't forget it. There was no way he could ever take those words back, or any way he could ever forget it. He told it exactly as it was told him, and it's written here in the Bible. John the Baptist came on the scene, and they said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm the voice of one screaming in the wilderness." The same Holy Ghost that brought that to pass in human flesh, and brought the manifestation into an interpretation, which was a genuine revelation to those who could receive it. It was no different. Same Holy Ghost that brought it originally. The same Holy Ghost that brought it to pass. The same Holy Ghost that interpreted. Those men were hundreds and hundreds of years apart. Miles apart. No way could one get to the other. Holy men, God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, Peter is telling them that there has got to be a prophet come on the scene and reveal the Scripture. Well, you say, "Brother Bale, where do you get it?" I'm glad you asked the question. I'm going to take you right to it. Matthew 16, verse 26, 28. "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste the death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." That was the glorified person they saw there. Now watch. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, brings them up into high mountain to part. He took them right up, bore them up, took them in his arms. And he was transfigured, transformed before them. And his face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. That's with Jesus in a glorified state. By vision, not really glorified, just in vision. And notice the glorification Peter had was what? God speaking back to him. Do you know that you're in a state of glorification right now if God is speaking back to you? For whom he justified, then he glorified. How can you stand here and know you're a perfect bride of Jesus Christ and not be glorified? Just get your glories exactly right, brother, sister. There's a lot of glories in the Bible. There's a lot of everything in the Bible. That's right. Hallelujah. God's in that word. In him's everything. You've been singing this morning. "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses, one for Elijah." Now, Peter had a way of talking out of turn, but he covered pretty good right here. I like that. He said, "Lord," he said, "it's good to be here," and it sure was. Now he said, "Do you think it'd be all right if we built some tabernacles?" I like people that go to God to find answers. That's right, he went to the Lord. See? "One for Moses, one Elijah, while he yet spake. A bright cloud overshadowed him, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which says, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." Now he didn't say, "I'm dwelling in him." He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You hear him." Now, Brother Branham brought out the truth of that scripture. "Hear you him." Now, remember, the great messenger that comes down in Revelation 10:1 is that same one that was there in a human body. Now, he's down here. And that's the one that you've got to hear. See, that's the one. He's the head of the church. Now, and he's proved he's the same as they did forever. The disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, be not afraid." They lift up their eyes and saw no man save Jesus only. And as they went down the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, said, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered, Elijah shall truly come and restore all things. And that's what Peter said in 2 Peter. He said, get your priorities. No Elijah. No coming of the kingdom. Yet people say, well, who needs Elijah? Hallelujah, I need Jesus. That's your oneness bunch of preachers. Your UPCs and independents. Your assemblies of God, all the Pentecostals claim they know God. They know him no more than a Hottentot knows about an Egyptian. That is, Brother Branham said. In fact, they know a whole lot more than you know about God. And Peter said, get your priorities straight. He said, there has got to be a prophet come on the scene. Now, but he said, Elijah's already come, and they knew him not. See? But have done what they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer. Now many people turn that around. They say, see, well, that was John the Baptist. Can't they understand English? Listen, according to how they got this figured out, the scribe said, why was Elijah first come? And Jesus answered, said, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you, I'm just kidding you when I said that. I got news for you. He ain't going to come. Why didn't he say so? You can make me a jerk. Like they got mad at me the time a certain guy in Europe, I told you about him. Well, I won't going to say everything I said because I'm not too proud of it. But I'll say it again. If I have to. I'll say, look, making me a goat's fine. But you make William Branham a false prophet. You destroy everything I stand for and everybody else stands for. He's an enemy of God. Now listen, you can't make Jesus some kind of a jerk. It doesn't say when he was born in the stable, he fell on his head on a piece of concrete. Smothered as a whip. 12 years of age, stood there and confounded the whole bunch. But you think now he's turning around and telling his disciples that he loved, I'm making jokes. Little bedtime stories. You look at it. I'm not nice, and I don't intend to be nice. It's in my genes. Cuss my mother, father, up, my great, 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 great. I read the Reader's Digest. I like what they said. It's in the genes. Just like my nose and my eyes. I love like a pinball machine or a cannon going off. You better do. If I can be a goat, that's fine. Maybe I'm a goat. I'll go to hell button the best I can every step for Jesus, though I don't do a very good job. What are they trying to make him? Some kind of a fool? And Peter says over here, there has got to be somebody. And the same Peter. Let's go to Acts, the 3rd chapter. I'm not mad. I'm just taking my time enjoying myself. Verse 19, the middle part, when times are refreshing, shall come from the presence of the Lord, that which is visible. Any part of him that's visible. And he shall send, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you, appointed, and so on. But the heavens got to retain him until the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Now he tells you. Who restores? Elijah restores. He tells you. At a time of evident manifestation of somebody, of something, which is visible to your eyes. And he said, it's going to bring a revival, because that word is revival. That breeze right there, refreshing, means a fresh breeze, and Brother Branham said it. He said a revival. He said, going on for 30 years, it hasn't stopped. Most revivals run out in three years, healing revivals, just like going on. Because a false anointing being manifested too. Now it says here, that after the great healing revival, see? Now who's going to bring it? Well, Elijah had a great miracle ministry, so let's talk about Elijah. Now he's got to restore what? All things the prophet said. The holy prophet said by their mouth. And Peter says that in 2 Peter. Holy men of God spake as their mood. You've got a man stand here, absolutely vindicated, before Jesus Christ comes on the scene. Physically speaking. All right. Now let's read what the prophet said. People say they believe a prophet. I wonder if they do. Now I want you to know this is short. You know, you've heard me quote this time and time again. I'll quit reading it until I'm blind or dead or something or something. I don't know. And you that listen to this tape, you might have thought that I was trying to say this about myself, being I was preaching this message. I have no more to do with this message than nothing, no more than just a voice. Holy men of God speak as moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, Brother Branham, like anybody else, could say things, but when he was in that pulpit anointed of God, you better believe that was the Word of God. And I'm not trying to detract from other things he said outside the pulpit. I'm just leveling with you today on the fact that he might have said, say, wouldn't it be nice if you and I had a beefsteak dinner? Doesn't mean you had a beefsteak dinner. You do what you want with that one. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father I declare to do and am determined to. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. Now something became visible. Now listen, I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happen as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. Okay? Now he said that he wasn't the pillar of fire. Now he said, I'm not the pillar of fire, folding and enfolding. And yet William Branham is over here. All right? Now, he said categorically, I am not the pillar of fire, Son of Man. And he said, I'm not the Son of Man, and the pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. Now, let's watch carefully what he's saying here. Now, he said, I was only a voice I'm not the one that performs these things and tells these things perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used. Only a voice he used, okay? All right, then the Holy Spirit was moving up to William Branham in the voice. He was in here, right? And we're a bunch of people over here, okay? We're all through here. Better put some other color there because everything is all red and we don't want this. We're pretty green, so put some green up there, too. There's a crowd there. All right. Now, he spoke through him. Only a voice. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. In other words, he surrendered himself, this man, William Branham, to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost spoke through. All right. It isn't me. It was the seventh. It wasn't the seventh measure. Oh, no. It. Now, what it? I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things of perfect job. Okay. So out of here, here's sayings, doings. Now, I'm not the one doing it. He said, no way. No way am I doing it. Now, what I'm saying and what is coming forth to you people that you're looking at over here from my words, I don't have anything to do with it. Now, let's watch carefully. It isn't me. It wasn't the seven measure. Oh, no. It. This. See? The sayings and doings that they saw, it was what? A manifestation of the Son of Man. Or did they see him or didn't they? Now, the word presence means what is visible to the eye. What was visible to the eye? The works of God. If I had not done the works, nor other man did, they had not sinned. But now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. John 15:24. Now, he said the appearing is different from what the fundamentalists called appearing and coming. Now, Brother Branham did use the words interchangeably to make us to know that we would actually see him physically, but not here. Now, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It didn't say from the Son of Man, it says a manifestation of. Because that's what appeared to our eyes. It wasn't the messenger, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The messenger was not the Son of Man. See, the angel was not the Son of Man. William Branham wasn't the Son of Man. This messenger was only a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. All right? Christ. Holy Spirit. See? Moving. Why? Because he had to have a reflector. Amen. What came here, reflected, came into manifestation. Now, he's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. In other words, what Brother Branham has to tell us wouldn't do us one bit of good. No way, shape, and form. A man's word will fail. But you're feeding on the body word of the Son of God. All right? Of the Son of Man. Let's go back to 2 Peter again. Now, he's telling you that this great kingdom, which is under discussion, which he saw in a preview, which preview was fantastic, is nothing compared to what's coming. Now he warns of the false misconception that comes on the scene. Who needs Elijah? Or they say the Jews get Elijah, but you see us Gentiles, we don't get any prophet, then you don't get him either, because this is written right to us. Because we're the kingdom of priests. People try to make this a Jewish book. You better forget it. He opened the doors to both of us. See, knowing this first, get this fact. A prophet contingent with this comes on the scene. Elijah or no kingdom. Like I said a while ago, prophet, God. God, prophet. Kingdom, Elijah. Elijah, kingdom. You do what you want. And at the same time Elijah's there, Malachi 4 categorically says, I'm coming to destroy the earth, but at the same time, I'm coming to get the bride out. That's what we're looking at. Okay. Now he said, prophecy came not in the time of the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. And Brother Branham categorically said, at this end time here, when the word was in the third pole, there would be no imitations. In other words, there would be no prophet that could arise up and approximate this one, because William Branham alone could tell it how it was. And every discerner out there clobbers it some way. He can't get through. He makes a mistake. I don't care how good Brother Grant is, and I think he's a tremendous person. He has to be. I'm sorry for him. But he, every time, his ministry shows that he flubs it. William Branham stood there. There wasn't one flubbing and one dubbing. The only one who could tell it as it was, who could literally bring up the truth of this and put a bride in the kingdom. Like I mentioned Wednesday night, I should have brought my notes. I left them at home, showing how the disposition of these mysteries lay in the hands of men like Paul. Maybe I can find it here. I don't know. It's too much. Be too many verses to look through. I couldn't find it. All right. Now notice in the second chapter that he is bringing forth a warning. that just because this comes, it doesn't mean, hey, oh, we're going to get taken off the scene. Oh, from now on, everything's wonderful. Hallelujah. It just breaks through the skies and zap, oh, we're gone. Let's find out how zap, oh, we are. Let's go back to Matthew 24. Verse 23, then if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs, even lying prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch were possible they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you before. Wherefore, if they say he is in the desert, go not forth in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as lightning comes out, he shines away, as even so lost as coming of the Son of Man be. Now, over here you'll notice that this man's ministry can never be duplicated, so there's none of us going to get fooled on that. One William Branham, one Elijah, period. Forget it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But beware of the false teachers. Well, that's what he said. There's not one pulpit that couldn't be false. Let's get that flat. For there were false prophets among the people, even there should be false teachers among you. Doesn't say prophets. Now, we just throw them out in the earth so fast we wouldn't know what hit them. Who probably bring in damnable heresies, saying no or declining the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Saying no to him. Now, come on, who was it that died upon the cross except the Logos becoming flesh? And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken out. It tells you, this message, because of certain people's teaching, is going to bring foul disrepute upon the whole bunch of us. Why do you think I'd like to go to the Attorney General right now and complain about a certain man here in the hide that has kids beat all the time and pulls every dirty, rotten trick in the book? Another guy down there lives in adultery and fornication, calling it polygamy. I'd like to go and put it on record with the Attorney General and say, listen, big boy, get this flat. Our church does not stand for that. Don't name your churches that do. When the fat's in the fire, even before it's in the fire, come to our church any day of the week and see how we treat our kids and how the people love each other. How we don't look upon adultery and all that stuff with any fine sensibilities, because we hate it. And don't have a thing to do with it. This husband loves your wife, not somebody else's wife. Now let's get this back. When you have intercourse, don't fantasize about Marilyn Monroe. If I find out, I'll fix you where it hurts. And don't get any thoughts about where it might be either, because I wasn't thinking what you're thinking. Now, I've got to talk tough. I'm talking tough. You doggone race. Look. Sin is sin. And there isn't one thing that you can't make sin of. Now, if you get slugged this morning, he had to come to you. If you didn't, wonderful. Men fall pernicious ways. The way of truth of evil spoken out. By men's action. I'm not even going to get to that today. It's 12:30 now. I should let you out of here. Pretty quick, and I will. I won't get to my setting, but I got some things to say about that too, right from the Word of God, where the setting is. Now it says these people that are going to make others despise us because of the truth. Through covetous, they're covetous, with feigned words. Make merchandise, you're telling you lies. Well, I was with the prophet, and the prophet, he and I were such good buddies. Well, fap, I wasn't such a good buddy with any prophet. He told me all the things some people run around saying he said. That man had the gall to say, you know, Brother Baal, the prophet and I'd sit together, and he'd just tell me about all these people and what they're going to do, and I'd see it happen. I'd just sit back and smile. Well, I've seen what happens with him, and I ain't sitting back and smiling. I could bite my words off in 16-inch pieces if they're made out of steel. That's what I think of his hogwash. Whose judgment now of a long time slumbers not, and or lingers not, and damnation slumbers not. Now what? For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, not the godly, but the world of the ungodly, turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned with an overflow, making them an example unto those that should after live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawfulness. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation and reserve the unjust under the day of judgment to be punished. Now he's letting you know there's a period of time going on there. It's not we had a prophet, hallelujah. Oh, bless God with the high. Well, listen, when William Branham was here, I was under the impression that William Branham would be standing here, behold, the Lamb of God. We'd all run, hallelujah, is it? Hallelujah, is it? Hogwash. He did say, behold, the Lamb of God. Completely unveiled. And then the prophet went on ahead of us. Certainly. Revealed him from the skies, he sure did. Told us what it was who came down ringed by those seven mighty angels. Told us all about it. See, God even letting a picture, as much as he could let a picture be taken. He couldn't let too distinct a picture be taken, that's for sure. There's no way, because I believe that would kill a man by looking at it too. The same as no man can see God and live. Now there's going to be a time here. But chiefly them that walk in the after the flesh in lust and uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, and not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as brute beasts made to be taken, destroyed, speak evil of things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. In other words, they speak out of their mouths any old way they want to speak, and they say it's okay. Now, this goes clean across the board into the Assemblies of God and the Oneness and the whole bunch of them, the Methodist, Baptist, the whole bunch. But we got to watch ourselves because these people don't sport with us. The others do. As they count it pleasure to write in the daytime, spots yarn and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. That's why this is at the time of attrition. When the last ones are coming in and there's no replacement, they're right here. If you say, I don't believe they are, then you believe wrong. Because a man had a big supper. There was a big wedding. He said, bring them in. So they brought everybody in. And a man sat there and he had a wedding garment on. Brother Brand said, that's those that feast among us, but they're not one of us. Why do you think he was there? Having eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised the covetous practices of cursed children, which have forsaken their right way and gone astray, falling away of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. What was wages of unrighteousness? Well, standing here using gifts from God. What about these big tent meetings and big programs? Well, you say they're justified. Hogwash, they're justified. Why didn't Peter have a lot of money? Don't think he didn't need money to get around the country. He sure did. Everybody needs money to get around the country. But I thought God took care of his saints. I went through some of that. Never failed me in. Oh, I thought he did because I wanted to be stupid, and I still haven't got for wanting to be stupid, but he smartens me up the odd time. Oh, sure. Rebuke for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Now, what do you think of a real prophet would do, being the voice of God? That's why they're still mad down here in Laodicea. That's why they're blind and naked and miserable and fully insane, because they won't listen to the voice of God in the man. And when the voice of God came forth out of the man, see? Proving it was God. The Son of Man in manifestation. The Son of Man revealed. The Son of Man amongst us. Appearing. Elijah standing there. Oh, they couldn't take that. You know what? It drove them madder. Yeah. They couldn't place the voice because the little voice wasn't in their little black book. And never gets in little black hearts. No. No, the heart's got to be clean. It's got to be lightened up. Dear wells without water, clouds carried to the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. You talk about great, poetic, beautiful words here that spell the awfulness of condemnation. They talk about Dante's Inferno. Who needs Dante? Read Peter. Who needs his lies? Get the word of God. I'm going to tell you something. A lie about the punishment that God meets the people is no different from a lie that man tells about the righteousness and goodness of God. A lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. They speak great swelling words, vanity. Their vain won't come to pass. allure through the lust of the flesh, much wantonness. Those who are clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. From whom a man is overcome, the same is brought in bondage. What's he talking about? He's talking about men that claim they came out of organization. Sure they did. But organization never came out of them. Came out of Pentecost, so-called. Pentecost never came out of them. Came out of Baptist, but Baptist didn't come out of them. I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, when you come out of anything, it had all better come out of you. Or you haven't been purged. And the purging starts with the mind. You bet it does. Sure. I'll tell you, frankly, you know that as well as I do. If you're constipated and your belly's all swollen up, and your mind can't tell what's wrong, you won't have enough brains to take a laxative. That's right. In other words, you'll never get purged until, first of all, it comes to the mind. Man can say what he wants, but they're working this ministry entirely backward. Feelings and this and that and everything else. Get your mind with the Word of God. Never, nothing else counts. Nothing else counts, brothers. Don't anybody ever tell you anything else does count. Because I'm going to tell you something. This Word with God in it is omnipotence. And you, with this Word, the portion with that life in it, is another form of omnipotence. And God moving on His Word of life within us, that does something. It'll get us there, don't you worry. They promise liberty. Themselves are servants of corruption, and so on and so on. Listen, now it says, the second epistle I write, to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And Paul said the same thing. He started you as virgins, he said, but I think you've gone kaput. He said, I think your minds have been swindled by the devil. I think a case of seduction has settled in here. The sweet words got you all excited to have a little affair. Sure. Yeah, and they did. Now he said, be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first. Now notice, first over here you've got to have something monumental. Then the first thing on top of that is they'll try to destroy the monumental. You follow? They'll try to take it away from you. And you'll talk about the prophet. You'll talk about this. You'll talk about that. And they'll take it away from you. Sure. Now, there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming, of his appearing, of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, when you look at this, and we apply it to ourselves, what I've said is perfectly true. People will go to the prophet, and they say, well, there was a prophet. That's great. Did great things, and that's wonderful. But, do they understand the literal appearing that Brother Branham said was in our hour appearing amongst us in signs and wonders? A literal appearing. Now, what are they looking for? They are looking for the literal physical appearing that this speaks of to them. Missing the literal appearing of the Son of Man without flesh. They're looking for the literal physical. And they're saying, well, where is the promise of the rapture so that we're going to be caught up? Because since the fathers fell asleep, and the last father to fall asleep is William Branham. Because like Paul said, you've got many teachers, but only one father. Your brother Branham was in the true character of the Apostle Paul, and he said he was. Then he was the one father at the end time. Because he alone was the one to bring forth this message, which is the sperm, so to speak, of this last hour. Now, what are they saying? They're saying absolutely this. There is nothing going on since William Branham left the scene. Now, you know, let me tell you about the world. Being a Canadian by birth, I don't have, you know, a great deal of affection for Canada in the sense of what they are because they don't have an identity. Religious man, as far as I know, he might be truly religious. I guess I could say truly religious. Real politician. And he decided that he would make Newfoundland the 10th province of Canada and thereby be the exalted only living member of Confederation. Now, if he'd have been smart, he'd join the States. But he wasn't smart. He literally, in my book, sold Canada down the drain to be a living father in Confederation. Now, notice how the world does those things, but God had his own living father for us. God, a vindicated prophet, because he literally was to us a father, and you can see him in that particular sense, because he was turning the hearts of the children back to the father, then he would have to reflect the image of a father because he was God to us and so on. So I put him down as one of the fathers, right along with the apostles, right along with Paul. I don't have a bit of trouble there. I might have a little trouble, but I don't think I will have any trouble. I don't think the Lord minds what I'm saying. I put him right there with those men because with John the Baptist, a whole bunch of them, doing that great job, and to me, like he's one of them. In other words, if you want to use the word father, that's fine, but he's certainly one of them. Now, way back in those days, until this 20th century, the people did not understand Elijah's coming at the same time the Spirit of God returned to this earth in the form of a pillar of fire to bring forth what we're looking for in this very hour. And the trouble that I see today is there are people right today who know better. They're willing to ignorant because Brother Branham said the pillar of fire will lead us into the millennium. There's four pages of that. We read it in the third Exodus. A man phoned me to jump all over me, and I said, just a minute. I said, you roundly qualify. You qualify on the grounds of what I said that you qualified for, because you know the text better than I do, and you know Brother Branham used four pages saying the pillar of fire would lead us in the main. He said, Lee, if you thought, he said, if I and so-and-so knew that, do you think we wouldn't say it? I said, that's exactly right. You do know it, and you won't say it. He turned right around and said, what I preach is blasphemy. Maybe he got blasted, and they call that blasphemy. But I wasn't. But he's wrong on his thoughts. Willingly ignorant. Now, I'm not worried about those that are around about us so much as this covers what Brother Branham said. This was not done in a corner. You knew what went on, and you turned it down anyway. And that's from across the world. Now, watch. What is it that people can't understand in this hour that something is going on? Though it appears that nothing is going on, and they get confused. What is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's the long-suffering of God. That's the whole thing. The long-suffering of God. Even when the ark is shut, no rain for 7 days. No way. And a lot of people simply want this to transpire, not realizing the judgments of God are already in the earth. The whole plan has been set up. The whole plan has been triggered. And day by day is gaining momentum that as soon as the bride gets out of here, I wouldn't want to be here when that one amongst us who is the judge of all the earth becomes incarnate in human flesh and stands there. even though he's husband, which he is, and the bride is having a great time, you remember that the same one of grace, the man of grace, is a man of destruction. For the Lord is not only Redeemer, He is a mighty warrior. And I'll tell you what, the bow has already been set in heaven. One bow of grace and the other bow for arrows. And you better believe He's not one of those antichrist birds, because He is the Christ. He's not that bird that doesn't have any arrows. He's the one that's got the arrows. And it's going to be His word coming back upon the people that didn't believe. And He says, listen, this world is being stored up. It's being kept like a case of dry goods in a warehouse. The whole thing. And He said, the minute you get out of here, that's when the whole thing begins to start to have the problems. Until one of these days, at even the end of the 1,000 years, God's going to call a halt. Now listen, He said the Lord's not slack concerning His promises. No way, shape, and form. Now He said the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And that's exactly true. It does come as a thief in the night. He's telling us. But listen, to whom is He the thief in the night? Not to us. We're the articles that are being stolen, so to speak. But how can you steal what's yours? Jacob couldn't steal what was his. The birthright was his from the very fact that God gave it him. The same as it. What can you do about a thing like that? Well, the boy didn't understand. He let his mother talk him into something. Instead of letting God go ahead and prove to everybody, she had to go ahead and pull a snitch act, which you can't steal what's your own. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you make it look awful suspicious, something's going to happen bad. And ever since then, because she stepped in and tried to do something, it got in a mess again. Eve stepped in to do something, and it got in a mess. And so what happened? Rebecca stepped in, and it got in a mess. And every time the woman steps in, there's a mess. And this is one time the woman can't step in. Right. It's right. This is one time he speaks, the bride stands back, and everything he says goes. And I'm going to tell you something. Everything he says does go. And if we're a part of what he said, we're going. And if we ain't, we're going to stay. Oh, yes, the third pull, my brother, sister, is never going to be duplicated. There's no way they can't do it. The infallible prophet. Now, he comes as a thief in the night. He certainly does. But he's not a thief to you and me, because the scripture says over here, absolutely we are aware of all these things. And so these things are not going to fall upon us and befall us as though they're judgmental, because they're not judgmental at all. So there you are, as far as we're going to go. We'll start next week, and that's why we'll have to start on Wednesday. And ate up one whole session. I thought I was going to get maybe 10, 12 pages in, but I didn't do it. But next week we're going to start then where we left off on about page, let me tell you where we're going to start at. We're going to start where? No, we're not going to start that far back. Where are we? Yeah, we're going to start plumb back on about page 26 about. Somewhere right there we'll start. And then we'll go on ahead here. And I'll take a little recap here. And we'll try to, by the grace of God, the help of the Lord, to get these things all done. In the meantime, be of good cheer. After all, if this is not the hour to look up and rejoice, then I'll tell you what. It's a wonderful start.
Amen.
It's a wonderful start. Because eyes have not seen what you and I have seen. Ears have not heard what you and I have heard. See, we're right on the threshold. I don't care what anybody says. There's no way you can get away from, you can't get away from 2 Peter. We are into the rapture, brother, sister. We're already being caught up into it. The grace of God having begun, there is no turning it back. There's no place where God ever turns back once it starts. Because it comes to us and, okay, let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we're very grateful again to you for your love, mercy, and that which you bestowed upon us. All manner of fruitfulness, Lord, from the heavenly places has been brought down here in the Word, and we've been feasting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we with it have become a strong people in the grace of our God. Lord, we're majoring in the grace as far as we know. And we believe that, Lord. We don't believe anything of ourselves. We're very glad to say that, Lord, that we cannot put any grace upon ourselves except that we receive your grace. We haven't done one thing, Lord, which is worthy, no way, shape, and form. We know that if we're part of this bride and we do have faith in this end time revelation, which we believe, that we have a proper understanding, that's also of grace because as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. And as many as were ordained to stand here and to not taste death, they'll believe because they were ordained to it. And there won't be anybody else outside of that. So, Lord, if we're part of that, and we believe we are today, and we just stand here, Lord, knowing that Satan will do everything he can to rock the boat and do everything he can to split a stem to stern and this and that. We know that that's what he might try, but we know that there's no way he can really do it. It's no way. He cannot infringe anymore. The prophet told us Satan has been exposed. And we believe that's what his great growl is at right now, that you have been revealed, that you're here. And we know that there's no two ways, that there's no way the two spirits are going to live in one house at one time. We can't believe, Lord, that the spirit of the enemy can be amongst the bride at the same time that the spirit of God is. We believe the bride is cemented around that Holy Spirit. And a lot of people might look like a hodgepodge and a mess up, but I don't believe it is. I believe that there is an exclusion and a seclusion that is going on now and makes us bride. I believe that, Lord. I believe the bride's all glorious within and without because she's thoroughly justified, and these thoroughly justified ones are glorified. We've heard the voice from heaven. Yes, sir, Lord, we've heard the prophet say it, and we don't arrogate to ourselves that, but we believe we are part of it because we were there, and we are here. And we rejoice in this. And what can we say except what Paul said? If God be for us, what can be against us? And that's the way it is. And if he's not for us, Lord, we know that then, all right, the others against us, and it'll do its job. But we're looking to you, Lord, as part of you, that your great work, your word manifest in us, taking us right on through. Now, I just pray that every single person here would build up on the most holy faith, which is in Christ Jesus, our Savior, putting aside anything which is wrong in our lives, and not being hypocritical to want to put aside what's in somebody else's life because we don't have it, and try to keep in our lives what little pet thing we like by reason of indulgences or actual sin. Lord, it's time to take that nonsense away, and every man be counted in the uprightness which is available to us, to keep adding these virtues until there's a saint of God with a true headship of the Holy Ghost, just like the church has right now. And I believe, Lord, that your true headship in the church extends to every single one of us, that everyone is going to have a definitive, absolute headship of God himself, so that the whole thing is headed up in God. That's a real bride. One body of many members constituting one bride. And right here on earth, a living statue, as Brother Branham said, which is right. Absolutely. Yes, Lord. And we don't falter at that either. I don't care if we are fallible. That's without you we are. And in fact, we were insane and everything else, Lord, till you began helping us. So, look, we're looking to you today, Lord. We don't see anything within ourselves, it's of ourselves, but we see everything of you. And that's what we look at. And we're very grateful that this is now our privilege and the great possibility to be that beautiful church, as fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and as terrible as an army with banners, just standing there, invincible, because her invincibility is a complete permeation and an outraying of him who is the head. Every member alive and scintillating, radiating that light. And what else could it be? So, Father, we encourage ourselves today, and this is part of your truth. And the devil's angry because we know his lie. He said it's not so, but he's a liar. It is so. It is so, Lord. There's no way that you could be in the church the way we believe at this time, that I and my Father are one, and we're one with you, that there's anything but this. So we accept this and love you, and just trust, Lord, this love becomes red hot. Just so absolutely tremendous that there's no place here on earth for it. Just doesn't fit. No, that's right. We're misfits to begin with. And there's just enough of us, Lord, that kind of likes to fit in. But there's enough of us now within us from you that doesn't want to fit anymore. And I believe you got the majority vote, Lord, to put us in a real fitting that gets us plumb out of here. It will, too. Because that old erosion is taking place, Lord. I believe this is that day of attrition. It's everything that should wear out is wearing out, and there's no more renewing of it. Hallelujah. Oh, so that's wonderful to believe that. The inner man growing more and more under the perfect day. So we commend ourselves to you and just appreciate everything you've done, what you're doing. Bless each one, Lord, now on the way home with all spiritual blessings in every place, health and whatever measure of grace is needed. And pray, Lord, that people will know that. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but if anything amongst us is there that shouldn't be there, that certainly there's room for improvement in everybody. Certainly, Lord, there's things that got to go in all of us. And if you're standing by here, Lord, to get them out of us, then which one of us would be so ridiculous as to not let you reach down with the mighty cleansing hand, the powerful hand of God, and remove those things out of our lives? Lord, we're here in your presence to that end. What you don't like in us, Lord, take your dust cloth. Take that bleach of the blood, Lord, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and just wipe down within them. And take it away, because there isn't anything that good anyway. There isn't anything, Lord, that we want to retain, really. Nothing. Just that seed that you put there in the beginning. That's all. Let it have its way. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and glory and honor through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Let's sing "We'll Walk in the Light."
We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Walk where the dew drops, the mercy arise. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the Lord of the world.
You know, wishing each other the fact that take the name of Jesus with, you know, that's forbidden. Just as a casual statement, it's forbidden to even say it. If the person doesn't have a right to it. But think what a tremendous blessing it is to sing it with thoughts of blessing upon everybody here, with earnest expectation unto God, taking that name in sacred vows of trust for part of the bride. Take it with us at all times. As Brother Branham said to the woman, he said, "Your hair is your glory. Bear it proudly. Wear it proudly." May we be very proud of our association and our oneness with him. Very circumspect, knowing that everything is to reflect his glory. Let's then take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus with you.